if you did not get a chance to attend the Christmas Eve service, I would encourage you to go on the website and listen to it. The music was phenomenal. I was talking to Lynette after the service, and she said it's the Conrad duet plus Greg. But they were very good. Debbie just blew my socks off. Wow. What a song. John was awesome. The Winsteads were phenomenal. It was just a good time. So, anyway, you have in your bulletin, you have a message series, and I put it together, then I realized there's Lent. So there'll be something plugged in there for Lent, but we're going to talk for the next 4 weeks about rethinking church. And then we're going to talk about, I love my church. We're going to order some stuff. I was talking to Debbie today. I'm going to order some I Love My Church t-shirts. So, if you want a t-shirt, we'll get that in the next week or two. But that's a five-week series that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about water walking faith and grace. And that just about gets us through June, and then I'll have to think again. We might start over. It's good. But encourage you to do that. One thing that I know for certain, and that is God wants us to get off our seats and do something for the kingdom. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. And the thing about it is that we can all do something. Doesn't make any difference. You might think it's so small, think that you're not capable of doing anything. But we're going to talk about a guy today by the name of Jeremiah. And all we need to do is look at where we need, you know, what we need or where we need to go. Look at where we've been. And that's what we're going to do today, to see what we can do and take a look at what's going to lead us into 2015. But in Jeremiah 1:1-12, and this is from the Message Bible, it said, "The message of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah of the family of priests who lived in Anathoth in the country of Benjamin." God's message began to come to him during the 13th year that Josiah, son of Amos, reigned over Judah. It continued to come to him during the time of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, reigned over Judah. And it continued to come to him clear down to the 5th month of the 11th year of the reign of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, over Judah, the year that Jerusalem was taken into exile. This is what God said. Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Isn't that an awesome thought? Before you saw the day of light, I had holy plans for you. A prophet to the nations, that's what I had in mind for you. But I said, and that's Jeremiah said, hold it, Master God, look at me. I don't know anything. I'm only a boy. I just put that in there. God said, don't say I'm only a boy. I'll tell you where to go, and I'll go with you there. And I'll tell you what to say, and you'll say it. Don't be afraid of a soul. I'll be right there looking after you. God reached out and touched my mouth and said, look, I've just put my words in your mouth, hand-delivered it. See what I have done. I've given you a job to do among nations and governments, a red-letter day. Your job is to pull up and tear down, take apart and demolish. and then start over, building and planting. God's message came to me, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" I said, "A walking stick, that's all." And God said, "Good eyes. I'm sticking with you. I'll make every word I give you come true." Now, if God said that to Jeremiah, during, and it, you know, he repeated it to him more than once, it's time that we look at maybe God needs to demolish some things and tear down some things in our lives so that we can build them back up through His help and through His grace. As we look to 2015 and we stop and think, what is God planning for us? What's He want us to do? And we've set some goals. We have to send in goals every year to the district. And in working with Brenda, we established some goals. And when we sat down and took a look at them, I appreciate what Brenda said. She liked my goals better than hers. But that's not the important thing. The important thing is that we work together to accomplish those. And so we set some goals, and we'll be sharing with them a little bit later. And taking a look at where God wants us to go, but first of all and foremost, we serve a great big God. He's not limited by who we think we are, what we think we can do. Nothing is so big for Him that He cannot accomplish it, nor we accomplish it with His help. What we do is all about God and all about the kingdom. And I know I talk a lot about that, but that's what it's about. It's about building the kingdom. It's taking people with us. It's not going alone. We've had several meetings about vision and identified some actions that we can do to build the kingdom. So we want to take a look at some things that, you know, we want to keep before us this year. Number one, God wants us to grow as individuals, as a corporate body, spiritually. If we don't grow spiritually, we're no better off than we were today. There's got to be a revelation in our lives at some point, at some time, that said, "I get it," or "I get that. I see what God's been trying to show me." So how are we going to go about that? Well, we're going to continue to deliver a message that is biblically sound, because that's what we're called to do. A message that's founded upon the Scripture. Because I believe that people come together for fellowship and spiritual food, to be re-encouraged, to be built up, to be strengthened. The world is tough. Life is difficult. I wouldn't be honest with you if I told you life's a breeze. There's some fun things about it, but there's some difficult things that we have to go through. So meeting and fellowshipping and worshiping together is the very first thing I think that God wants us to do, and it's my responsibility to provide spiritual food for you all. The second thing is everyone needs to pray. Pray for each service. Pray that the Word of God is anointed. Pray that the music is anointed. Pray that the Sunday school is anointed. And yes, pray that the fellowship is anointed. Because that's where we connect with one another. And that's where we meet each other on their terms. Read and study the Bible every day. I don't care if you read John 3:16 for 6 months, if you get something out of it. I have never read the Bible all the way through, and I probably never will. Now, there are people that have done it multiple times, and, you know, and that's okay. But I don't get much out of someone begat someone. I'll just be honest with you. I don't get a lot out of that. Now, had they not begat someone, Jesus may have never been begotten. But there's things in there that are far more important to me. It's a lesson for all of us. Pray for yourself first. Because I can't pray for anyone else if I don't have that relationship. Now, I've heard people say, you know, pray for other people first. But the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So how do we get righteous? We study the Word. We ask God to direct us. And so what's that? That's praying for yourself. So that's what we need to do. We need to continue to be a church that reaches out to the community. As I said earlier, we're going to follow up on those 14 now Operation Magi families. Someone told me one of the families, the lady was a prostitute. I don't think you have to live that way. I really don't. I don't think God wants that. But I understand you got to provide for your family. But there's better ways of doing it. One lady I talked to told me her, and one thing is one of the families that, you know, that, well, it was, no, it's the same family, excuse me. Husband's a drug addict. He can't come home until he gets cleaned up. What can clean him up? The Word of God. Jesus Christ in his heart, what can clean him up? What can change that? That's what we need to pray for when we pray for those families. Reach out to other people. We're going to be a church that does things in the community. Be aware of people around us with needs when we come in contact with people. Because there are people around us that have needs, and there are people around us that are hurting. And so we want to, you know, we want to be there for them. We want to, you know, meet those needs that they have. I just got a call this morning. I called a number back, and it was somebody wanting food. It's somebody that we've already given food to. Pray about how many times do we help the same family. That's something I struggle with. I'll be honest with you. The old adage is, if you teach a man to fish, you don't have to give him a fish every day to feed himself. I don't know the answer to that question, but I'm sure searching for it. Number two, I believe that God wants us to not only grow spiritually, but he wants us to grow numerically. Why is that? Because people are finding a new relationship with Jesus Christ if we grow numerically. Now, we're going to talk over the next 4 weeks about some different ideas on how do we do that. And I was talking with Bill and Brenda about evangelism explosion today, and it's a 35-year-old program that was developed at Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Coral Gables, Florida, I believe is where it was. Simple process, but it works. And it's just sharing who we are. So some things we're looking at, and you can see some of them up there, and I think they're listed in your bulletin because I didn't want everybody to have to write everything down. But we're looking at sponsoring a youth sports team. Someone might say, well, why are we going to do that? Because there's families involved. And there's families that we can work with. There are kids in soccer every Sunday morning that can't come to church. because the soccer league says we're going to play on Sunday. So if we reach out and sponsor a team, what kind of impact might that have? So we're going to look at that. Get them to participate in our services. If it's an unchurched family and they're not comfortable coming to church, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do a Bible study. I don't know when we're going to do it, because that wasn't something we talked about. That's something I just put in my message. But that's what we're going to do. In February, we're going to be introducing a homecoming event. So mark your calendars for August the 30th, because that's when we figured was a good time to do it. This is the 20th year that you've been here. So we have to celebrate that. So think about people that you know that walk through these doors. I don't care if they go to church somewhere else. It doesn't make any difference. We're only going to ask them to be here one Sunday. So that doesn't bother me. But we want to do that August the 30th. We're going to be talking about a couple other things that we want to do in conjunction with that in the next couple months. We're going to introduce an all-church movie night, and you have a pink half sheet in your bulletin today. Don't come alone. Bring somebody. We're not going to indoctrinate them and preach to them. We're going to watch a movie. And we're going to have fun doing it. We'll pray for the pizza. But that's what we want to do. Just let people know. You know, we laugh in here. And I know some of my stuff isn't that funny. But, you know, I do appreciate you laughing at it. Being a Christian can be fun. It's what you make it. Now, I've sat in churches where everybody has a sourpuss look on their face, and that's why I'm not there. That's not what God wants. So, you got a little pink sticky note in your bulletin again. You probably said, how many times are we going to see this? I got about three more pads of them. So, use that to RSVP, or use that to tell us what you like about your church. Stick it on the wall on the left side as you go out today. I've got 33 of them I pulled off of there. And it's good sermon material. So, except the one that says I like Pastor Larry and Cindy. But what? No, I'm just kidding. We're going to start a shut-in ministry. What's a shut-in ministry? We're going to start providing a copy of the bulletin and a copy of a CD for the church, for those that can't be in attendance. That was an awesome idea when it came up. You know, and what we're going to, if they don't have a way to listen to it, we're going to go find them a CD player. But we want to make that available to people that can't come to church. Not that choose not to. So if you're not here because you got something else to do, you're not a shut-in. You're an absentee. So, but, you know, that's one of the things we want to do. We're going to do a program called Grief Share. And it's a biblical-based, video-based, 13-week session that helps you get through the loss of someone you love. We're not going to do that just for you all. We're making it available to the community. And we got the material, and we're going to, we're going with it. Sometime when the weather warms up and people can drive that don't normally drive, but we're going to be looking to do that in the spring. We're going to be doing more social events. We're going to do things to get together like the Gaithert Homecoming. Like the movie night. Give people things that we can bring people to that's not a churchy event. And then we're going to invite them people to a Bible study. We are going to see people grow spiritually because of what we do at this church and because of what you do. We're going to be more involved in the community, as I mentioned earlier. We're going to continue to be a church that cares about people. Next slide, Larry. Next slide, Larry. Whoops, one too many. Too many moving parts. One button. What we're going to do is we are going to say yes. Where we participate in the community Thanksgiving event, we're going to do more of that kind of stuff. We are going to see if the district wants to have their charge conference here. Why not? Why not make this place available? We've got a great facility, phenomenal place. Let's use it. Something else I was thinking of, I forgot what it was. Oh, why not do the community Thanksgiving service here, the Easter service here? We can do that. We may have to put up some more chairs. That's okay. Because we have able-bodied men that will put up chairs. Why not? We're talking about doing a retreat. There's a place called Higher Ground, and Phil and Brenda's son and daughter-in-law went there for a retreat. Make it available to anyone who wants to come. Maybe what about sponsoring an Operation Magi family? Come be around a bunch of holy rollers. What would that be like? What would it be like to invite a guy with tattoos all over his body, his arms, and piercings, nobody knows where? Come to a retreat with people who just love one. What would that be like? I don't know. But I'm interested in finding out. We're going to build a fire pit out here, and we've got everything already donated, even the firewood. And we probably have an Eagle Scout that's going to do an Eagle Scout project. And we're going to do an Easter sunrise service. Now, someone said that if you're going to have an open fire, you have to have hot dogs. So we may be serving hot dogs for Easter Sunday morning. But we're going to have an Easter sunrise service outside this year. And we're going to invite the community. Well, I don't know if it can. We're going to try to do something like we did at the Christmas Eve service. You know, we'll figure something out. But I think that's what we need to do. We're going to offer Financial Peace University. Financial Peace University is a course by Dave Ramsey. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but 2 to 4 on 93.7 every day. He's on there and he talks about how to get out of debt. And I am convinced that the majority of people would love to give more if they weren't strapped financially. I really believe that. So we're going to offer that to the community. I think the packets are $99 and they're going to pay for them. We're not buying them. But we're going to offer that and make it available to people to get out of debt. Live life in freedom. We're going to do a church organizational directory, and Linda Eastep has already volunteered. Thank you. To have Wayne do all the work. But we want to put it together so everybody knows who does what and what goes on around this place. There's people that have questions about that, so that's one of the things we want to do. You got any ideas? Let us know. We're open to them. We're looking for reaching out to the community. I'm excited about what we can do. And it doesn't take a lot of people to do this stuff. It takes a lot of people to move chairs. Because some of us that are moving chairs are tired of moving chairs and tables. So we need chair movers. Some additional things that we're talking about is a baptism on the lawn. We're going to do more Scout Sundays. We've got a scout troop that meets here. And Bud and I have been working on a scout leader to get his family here. We're going to be Eagle Scout projects. We're looking to do some additional service. I'm looking to do some additional services other than Sunday. I'd like to have a Thursday night worship service. And all those people that can't come to, well, I got to be honest, I stole that idea from Greg. But all those people that play soccer on Sunday morning, what about Thursday night? It's a thought. Mother's Day out, someone mentioned this, you know, for like Christmas shopping next year. We had a lot of time to plan that, but hey, why not? Take a look at that. Have a truck and a float, or a float in the parade. Good idea. I think that's a great idea. So here's where we are in 2014. Our average attendance was 71. Our average number of small groups was 1.21. That's just statistically number. There is not 0.21 group. Our average income was $2,115.72, and that's through the 14th. And we're talking about maybe an all-church meeting to let everybody know where what goes where. Because I think you'd like to know, so we'll probably try to do that maybe some Sunday after church and do that thing that we do well, have some food, and talk about that. So where do we want to go in 2015? Well, we set an average attendance goal of 83. But by the end of December 2015, I want to have 115 in here. Can we do that? Yeah, we can do that. We probably got that many people missing today. But we can do that. Average number of small groups, I'd like to see six small groups at least. And that might be grief sharing, that might be Bible studies. They all count. That's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see our average income at least $2,500 a week. I don't say much about money because I don't have to. And I don't like to. But if we're going to grow, it's going to take some resources to do that. We do mission work really well. We need to maintain those efforts. And this is a revelation, and you can read it up there. Things just don't happen. They take prayer, they take work, and they take what I don't have. Patience. Sorry. You're stuck with someone with no patience. The ability to, you know, care, yes, but not care with patience. So that's what I see us doing together. And I love what Bob said when I first met the staff parish committee. He said, it is our responsibility to build a church. It's your responsibility to provide leadership. And I agree with that. But we're in this ball game together. And we're moving forward together. And I tell you, the potential is unlimited. It is unlimited what we can do. If we pray, if we work, and we have patience.